December 4th, 2020, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. Friday, first Friday of December, started the show with, John Coltrane doing an alternate version of Naima, take two, and, there was a clam or something, so they didn't finish it. They had to redo it. So even John Coltrane's bands blew clams, people. And then, BMP Matt.Scum from Sediment Club. And people, we're still quite in quarantino mode, so Brother Matt at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point a couple miles south, but I'm not totally man alone because those engineers in Estonia with their incredible Skype invention, I got with me Austin Slade Julian. Welcome aboard,
Austin. How's it going? Pleasure to be on. Yeah.
And where are you talking to me from?
I'm talking to you from Queens, New York, in my studio.
Yeah, Queens, New York. Maybe New York Dolls and Ramones and a lot of good music out of that town. Or part of New York City, right? What's it called? A borough. It's a borough.
The borough of Queens.
I'm in SoCal here, so we don't have boroughs, but I'm a little bit familiar. Austin, can you tell me your earliest musical memory, recollection?
My parents are both musicians, so I grew up in a very, music-friendly household. So I'd say, like, you know, they were both, like, punks and stuff like that. My mom played in a band, Bush Tetras, and my dad plays guitar in a lot of different bands, but started was a founding member of Richard Hell and the Voidoids, and they didn't like push their punk agenda on me or anything, but I guess like my earliest memories are just like listening to music with them, and you know they're both passionate about all different kinds of music and things, so just those, you know, being in that environment, I would say. Yeah.
So probably hearing their music, Voidoid music, Bush Tetra music.
Yeah. I could say, like, one thing that was, like, so when I was in, like, early high school, I had, like, a Discman, and I would borrow my parents' CDs and listen to it. And, you know, I was into art and music, and some kid, like, jacked my locker and, like, stole these CDs that I was kind of borrowing, and I got kind of in trouble because I would carry the booklet with all the CDs in it because I wanted to listen to a bunch of different stuff, and it wasn't the brightest thing, you know what I mean? I was like a kid, and so I had to save up and buy all this music back because my parents were like, yo, like, you have to do that. Like, so that's kind of a big trajectory for me. Like, I rediscovered and kind of, I would go to FYE, and I was like working like little odd jobs and things like after school and stuff, for like family friends. So I had like, you know, I would save up and then buy CDs and listen to them, and kind of it got me into like the music that I'm in today, to kind of like explore music that way.
Yeah. I got to tell you, your pop, incredible guitar man and big influence on D Boone, Minuteman guitarist, Bob Quine too, but your pop, I mean, the way those two guys played together, and incredible. I first got to see your pop play. Richard Hell finally played on the West Coast. You know, they wouldn't come out for many years, and finally, maybe 82 or something, they come to Whiskey, and Bob Quine wasn't with them. And in fact, your pop had a band that kind of opened up for Richard Hell. He was in both bands.
Oh, whoa, okay.
I can't remember the name right now because of my fucked up memory, but... let me ask you, so obviously there must have been some guitars in the pad, right? Because your pop played them and your ma too. And so did you get on the guitar early?
I painted and drew since I was like very young. And that was when I was early living with my parents as like a kid. That was like my main, I would do that every day. But I always like had a kind of, I don't know. I had a maybe like. I can't curse on this, right?
Yeah, you can.
Oh yeah, okay.
So watch the Pedro show. There's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
Okay, I have kind of like an ass backwards way of doing that. Like, it took me a long time to realize, like, because I would play without plugging in the instruments, that you could only kind of like pluck the strings on one side of your other hand, but stuff like that. I kind of like fell into it with a little bit of like an antagonistic ass backwards kind of thing. And I think my parents, you know, they were like, so like, do your thing, like, you know, and stuff. And they, you know, they like were down with experimental stuff, but I think, you know, I never had like proper lessons. I also kind of had space to explore on my own and kind of do my weird thing and learn on my own how to like feel comfortable with that and having the materials. I mean, that it's not like we had a ton of money other than all this musical stuff around, like that was like a, you know, a huge cradle and window for me to, like, you know, see the world through and build my creative stuff or whatever.
Yeah. What about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
No, there was music in my high school, but they cut it the year before I went there, because, like, in the public schools in New York, they were cutting a lot of the arts and things, and though this wasn't, like, an arts public school, they, like, were slashing, like, it was called art and design, and they, like, slashed design out of the whole thing as, like, you know, butcher shop of funding, you know, and stuff like that. So there was locked instruments in a room that you could see, but you couldn't ever get to or anything.
Oh, man, like a big taunt. Well, that's why I ask about that, because that's that story, very common story going around. So you had no, like, lessons, right? You're just finding out on your own. What about friends? Did you start, like, you know, the bedroom band, the garage band, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, Sediment Club was a band that I was in for, like, 11 years. And we started when I was just out of high school. And definitely, like, there was this community going on, and it relates to a lot of, like, the DIY community that's in New York now, where when I was, you know, in high school and a little before that, Bloomberg, the mayor at the time, made it very strict for, like, IDing people to get into clubs, and 21 plus was really enforced. So a lot of young people couldn't go see music, because a lot of the bars used to be, like, it used to be very loose, and you know, I would go to shows that my parents were playing at places that were, like, under, like, scummy bars or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Places that would matter, but it got really strict. So out of that environment came this kind of, like, silent barn, and some of these places started to pop up in the outer boroughs and, like, in Brooklyn and things, in Queens. And these places were facilitating this kind of weird community, and there was a lot of indie music and stuff, which wasn't totally the kind of music that I was, it was a little straightforward for me, but I think this community was very fostering. So I would go to these shows after school sometimes, and there were a lot of young people my age that I didn't go to high school with directly, but that were, like, making, like, kind of interesting music and kind of, like, creating this environment that felt like it was possible for me to, like, you know, play. Because, like, to be frank, like, I was only listening to music from, like, from your era, and I didn't think music was something that I could get into, because the stuff that was mainstream, that was contemporary, despite some things, just didn't, you know, before being part of that smaller community, didn't relate to me, and I thought it was, like, commercial and sure. Inaccessible or whatever, you know.
You're saying, like, the stuff that was contemporary was Mersh, but believe me, it's always been that way. Most of the stuff, yeah, because I'm 13 in 1970. There was a lot of Mersh shit then, too. Of course, that's not the stuff you want to remember.
Yeah.
That is a big problem. Look, I want to play this tune by you, Apex 600. We'll be right back.
and still can't find you. Around the world I live and still can't find you. Around the world I live and still can't find you. Around the world I live and still can't find you. I stay on my feet. Only time I'm on my knees is when I pray to the east. Move across the 6,371 kilometers. She say you stuck, still stuck under a rock. Cause you think like passion, passion pushed us. She swayed me so I hit it till the morning. It's more than a physical attraction. Easiest to detach when you don't see nothing after. So the memory of that ass last pass. Spark it on my lap then. It's going up like an accent. Let's make something happen. Deeper than the grave, inside where I lay, reincarnate, get a new bitch, like the father of a new bitch. She ain't lost and I ain't losing, we both moving. Around the world, I live and still can't find you. Around the world, I live and still can't find you. Around the world, I live and still can't find you. Around the world, I live and waves crashing out, and I knew way when she passed me. Do you love me? Just asking. Cause the hurt, we choose to mask it in pursuit of what we want, like a robbery. I ain't looking no more at the lottery. Feel like Abraham because it's all in me. These boulders on my shoulders cause it's all on me. Accountability, can count the times you've been for me. I'll be there for you till infinity. Our story ain't no mystery. So no longer will we wallow. So no longer can we wallow. So no longer will we wallow in our misery.
Cups of coffee, yeah, a little warm, like cigarettes and heart attacks, like coffee and pain. She got a motel baby with a motel table, like my coffee flat with salt and pepper. Well, sure, things began with needs for coffee. Coffee in my mug, then I put my coffee in my mug, then I put my coffee in my mug. Got my body swimming in coffee. Sugar pulled your collar when you dropped it into my coffee. What happened to that suitcase? I got stuck in traffic with an empty, rusty coffee cup. What kind of coffee do you like? She got hot coffee, piece of the cake. She went off work just to make that mistake. A remote to bring my coffee, and the ceiling fell in. And now the days I go, where are you, Lord? Because I need you like a morning need my coffee. I see myself in video. I drink dark black coffee in the shower on my own. So wait a minute, dude. If they told you that this would be your favorite song, hearing this song would make you want to go and get coffee. All I need is coffee and a table. All I need is coffee and a table. You made me breakfast, then you brought me coffee. What happened to that suitcase? Two more cups of coffee, yeah, a little warm. Like cigarettes and heart attacks. Coffee and pain. I wish I had the mind of a coffee bean. All I can think of is me to drink some coffee, yeah. Well, coffee goes cold coming out of the kitchen. A few more cups of coffee, yeah, a little warm. Like cigarettes and heart attacks, like coffee and pain. She got a motel baby with a motel table. Like my coffee black with salt and pepper. Well, sure thing again with the needs for coffee. Coffee in my mug, then I put my coffee in my mug, then I put my coffee in my mug. I found my body swimming in coffee. Super fold your collar when you drop it into my coffee. What happened to that suitcase? I got stuck in traffic with a rusty coffee cup. What kind of coffee do you like? She got hot coffee, piece of cake. She went off work just to make that mistake. A remote to bring my coffee and the ceiling fell in. And how the days I go, where are you, Lord? Because I need you like a morning need my coffee. To see myself in video, I drink dark black coffee in the shower on my own. So wait a minute, dude. If they told you that this would be your favorite song, hearing this song would make you want to go and get coffee. All I need is coffee and a table. All I need is coffee and a table. You made me breakfast, then you brought me coffee. What happened to that suitcase? A few more cups of coffee, yeah, a little warm. Like cigarettes and heart attacks. Like coffee and pain.
Thank you. Donna had armpit hair. I began to distrust porn. Said if you were going to old my head, it was because I wanted you to. Neither of us came from families that made romantic speeches or went to church. Love was something discovered behind the bins at Morrison's, came in litres from the corner shop. Something we were told we weren't old enough to have. So when the time came, I spoke the alphabet and hoped that God, or whoever, could make up the words. Held your orgasm on the tip of my tongue. In your bedroom, my voice was holy.
Yeah. just one of your sons from the tree of life that you'll never see. Threaded from the balcony, the fall of home, just naturally, how could I know that this was it? How could I know? Now this is it. How could I know?
For Pedro Show, yeah, Apex 600, and this is by Sunk Heaven. So this is after Sediment, and we'll get to this, what happened to Sediment Club and stuff, Sunk Heaven. But then Nappy Napa after that with Love Is Not Far, and that's brand new solo album, Nappy Napa out of D.C. 38 Angry Tigers from around the same area, Coffee and Pain, Bomas Prendon, connect right there. I turned on my television, Harper and Roos and St. George, Frontier Knowledge. This is from the late 60s. Delia Derbyshire is part of this, and she was a big pioneer in electronic music before synthesizers, cutting tape and shit. Sophie Safarum and Christopher Gregory with Like a Prayer. Johnny Mark and the Ricks, Living with the Devil. That's featuring Frankie Elmer from the late, great Suburban Lawns. We lost him from a stroke couple of years ago. Agnes Steck out of Austin. Who Hired Hell? Axelrod from Quack Quack out of Leeds. Dream of San Pedro from Dopes. Kill Rockstar's putting a vinyl version of Ostamento Trace real soon. Richard Hell with You Gotta Lose. This is from his first 7-inch. There was an ad in Cream Magazine said, call Hell. So I called, and when his voice was on the phone, I got scared and hung up. So I never got to speak to him until like 30 years later. Sunk Heaven, finally. This was it. So, yeah, well, tell me about the first Sediment Club gig.
Okay. Well, so when I told you, like, when we started, I had just left high school and I went to, I got into this college, Bard College upstate, but, my bandmates were younger than me, so I set up two gigs that were like maybe in the same week, and we like formed kind of in preparation of these two. I had like set up this show at my school, and I didn't really know how to do that, but I was like, a vague idea. I just started going there, and then the Bowery Poetry Club, which now I think is like this kind of like hellhole. It used to be like a place they would just let kids have more or less like matinee shows, and I had gone there a few times to see shows as a younger kid or whatever. So, and they were like longstanding. I think they got bought corporately like later on, but, yeah, it was interesting. I don't know. I think it was, we used to be a 4-piece. The recording that you played before was, from our last albums. That was from 2018. So that was like as a trio, but as a 4-piece, we're all people that like were part of this community, but I think we had like, we stratified audiences, and some people really liked it and some people really didn't. And that's great. I think like people need to have severe, reactions to things. I think if people are in the middle about something, then it's not really doing its job. So basically a lot of cheers and a lot of boos simultaneously.
It was a polarizing event.
Yeah, for sure. I think, like, you know, I didn't really, I think maybe our drummer, Jackie McDermott, was, like, one of the only people that, like our bassist, like, the rhythm section knew how to play instruments. I didn't know really, like, I just learned that skill that you could play on one side while your amp is plugged in, and then, you know, I'd been practicing for a while, but I was just trying to make people's ears bleed and stuff and express, you know, experimental things. So I think it was, you know, it was cool. It was good as a teenager. It was fun. Some people, yeah, like, had a problem, but that was okay. 'Cause in the end, like,
it's,
yeah,
their problem. Were,
yeah,
what their problem. I'm curious, what about the material?
Yeah. In the beginning, I had written the songs with my friend Vishal, who ended up not being in the band permanently, and we had, like, formed our own different projects, but, like, in math class, I would write these weird lyrics, and then, like, you know, kind of put, just, like, I listened to a lot of, like, yeah, like, DNA, and, like,
oh,
like,
yeah,
all kinds of stuff, and, like, Paraboo and that, and, like, different, you know, soul and you know, yeah, experimental stuff, and, like, I was trying to, like, kind of put that together into something, and we all were just kind of in this weird community, but, like, I kind of cold called a few, you know, my friend Lazar, who now is, like, one of my best friends, is, like, somebody that, like, I just kind of sent a text. I was like, yo, like, I've seen you play a bass before, I don't know, you know, I'm trying to figure this out, and, yeah, like, we, you know, we're all from New York City, and it's, over the last 20 years, New York has been really, you know, really, like, destroyed by, like, gentrification and class warfare, and, you know, America is being destroyed by, like, racial warfare and, like, white supremacy and stuff, and just in general, the anti-human decimation. So I think, like, in general, and it's, I think with Sediment Club, I was trying to, like, make, like, a rock reaction to the imminent demise of the American society and, like, the anguish that it harbors and the situations that it creates, you know?
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I was going to say reaction to the situation. What I was curious about, though, because we were young, me and D. Boone, we wasted so much time trying to copy songs, so it's interesting that you start creating your own tunes right off the bat instead of trying to copy.
Yeah, I just didn't. I learned a few songs, you know, learning how to play guitar, but we would do covers and just, it was like a challenge to fuck them up as much as possible. It was kind of like, you know, like, you know, it's like painting or something, you know, like, you could do, like, a rendition of, like, a classic painting, but you wouldn't want to just do it by numbers. You'd want to, you know what I mean? Like, that was where I was coming from. It was kind of like, yeah, like, you know, because there were a lot of, like, trained or, like, people that wanted to be musicians, but I always felt a little bit, like, off-put by some of that energy that at least came from my situation where people were just, like, a little snobby. It was, like, a social structure, and, you know, I was, like, pretty heavily, people were, like, making fun of me, and at that time I was, like, bullied a lot in middle school pretty violently and stuff, you know? So, like, I always had this kind of, like, antagonistic view of, like, social hierarchy and things and, like, wanting to dismantle that, kind of, like, antagonize people, you know what I mean? Just, like, kind of make a ruckus and just deconstruct that.
Because you're kind of giving in to conformity by saying, oh, the real way to play music is to copy these other success, unquote, stories instead of trying to just let the freak flag fly and find your own way.
Yeah, and I think, like, the accessibility of, like, what I see from my perspective and generation, it's, like, what the punk world was, you know, is, like, anyone should be able to do this. We're all part of this whole situation. Like, anyone should be able to pick up an instrument and express themselves. It's all valid because it's all part of the same thing. Like, you know, like, you should, you know, it should just be a process, and what people should be, like, enjoying, engaging isn't the technical scale of this or that.
Absolutely.
Necessarily. I mean, it should be the, like, the emotion and stuff, but, you know, this is all subjective, like, opinion.
No, it's good stuff. And speaking of processes, the process of Sediment Club, you said 11 years but it ran its course. What happened?
11 years, and we lived in the same city for maybe an accumulative 8 months. Because, like, I was in school, and they were in New York City, and then they both, like, you know, are different ages and went to school up where I was, and then I graduated, and then our drummer dropped out, and then Amina, who played keyboard for 4 years of it, left the band. When we kind of all just, like, the other three of us left New York. Like, I moved to Rhode Island for 3 months for creative reasons. I just finished school and couldn't financially make sense. I mean, I think if I had more, like, skills of understanding and more of a community, I think, or something, like, maybe I could have made New York work then. And there's times where I think, oh, like, if I had done that, I could be in, like, I would have had my foot settled there more because I'm here now, but you can't look back and, like, in the
end.
A lot of
The big picture was it wasn't 11 solid years. There was a lot of holes in there. And you're talking about a bar up the river in Annandale, right?
Oh, yeah, I am. But, you know, we were a band the whole time. We just lived in different places. Yeah. So we would travel to rehearse. We toured constantly. It was very solidly. We were very active. We put out, like, a bunch of records, and we toured with this band, Gorilla Toss, that were, like, very, like, kindred of our time, amongst, like, a lot of others, like the Dreebs, and, like, you know, we played with, like, a lot of the, you know, my contemporaries now, like Dream Crusher and, like, Boy Harsher and these bands that are, like, you know, yeah, like, very much, you know, Ono, and this very solid community of experimental, interesting contemporary music. Like, I think now it's like, I don't know comparatively, but, like, I would imagine that, like, New York was a mecca then, and there's not really a place like that now. People, before COVID and before now, we're all enough to rethink this, but the touring, the idea of traveling these communities that are all spread out all over the nation, you know, like, I had, like, very close friends that lived across the country, and it was kind of like, you would travel a lot for music, and you would see them, you know, like, pretty regular, like, semi-regularly, like, they would travel to you or there, like, once a month or, like, whatever, you know. And I don't know, it was just, yeah, it was we created a music in this kind of strange situation, and I think it was positive, you know.
It sounds great, man. We're at the end of the first hour,
okay.
December 4, 2020, Dish Watt Pedro Show. Special guest Austin Slay, Julian. Hold tight for hour two. December 4, 2020 is the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Get out of my head, I'm going to wake up. Thank you.
hearing people. Watt was an idiot. Yeah, let me read you all them fucking bands again. Dead Tech from Son Kevin. Sam Bennett with Swamp Root Liver Cure. Eiko Ishibashi with Born Story. On the Particulars, Jerome Parker Wells. Hototo Gisu from Waku Waku Kingdom. And finally, Fortitude from Son Kevin. Okay, I got that one. Yeah, still room for pilot error, people. Can't blame the machinery on this because Watt forgot to record. But me and Austin were relating was... Sediment Club ran its course. And so he started a new proj, what we've been playing here, Sunk Heaven. So we're going to get into that. Austin, tell us.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was definitely some overlap where, like, Sunk Heaven is just myself. And, you know, I was, again, we were living in different places. I was living at a venue that I was running shows out of in Providence. And I was booking a lot. And, you know, in Providence, like, a big part of that music scene is, like, the, like, noise and experimental, like kind of like harsh electronics and things. And as much as that was always in my periphery, and, you know, my friend Vishal, it was like this kind of boy genius person that I early on played music with, like taught me about no input and things. These were things I experimented with, but like mostly on my own. But moving to Providence, there was a lot of outlets to be able to play that, and there were a lot of people that toured through that were doing that, and, you know, it was very influential for me to be a part of that music scene. So I started kind of changing, because I have this other solo project called 973 Future Youth that's more like cartoon garbage noise, you know, or something.
Austin, which is great. Can I ask you, what is the idea of no input?
It's so you're, like, plugging, like, you're plugging your mixer into itself and you're creating feedback and, you know, you're affecting that within the mixer.
Okay, I understand.
You're creating sound with that. Yeah, that's all.
It's just the thing mixing music is actually producing the sound. Self-contained.
Yeah, it's like you're generating the sounds with the equipment in and of itself. That you're not, you know, I use instruments and all things I can and build instruments and stuff for that, but like, just like, you know, that kind of harsh, like, you know, also just playing, like, making that amount of sound on your own and being self-reliant. And, you know, it was influential, like, kind of starting shows and doing that in Providence. And that's where Sunk Heaven kind of came from. And I there was this thing. So I lived in Providence, and in Boston, there was this thing called, like, Alston Christmas, where, like, all the leases ended on August 31st. Like, so all the students were moving around with Thoreau, all this crazy shit. And I would say that I went there, got, like, a drum machine and a bunch of pedals, and that's kind of how Sunk Heaven started. Because before that, I didn't have a ton, and that's another thing. You kind of need the equipment and stuff. So I got, like, a mixer and some things, and it's like, okay, so I have this now. I can kind of, like, delve in and, you know, work, experiment with this kind of stuff. And, it's been like 8 years, I think, with Sunk Heaven. But, you know, I think while I was doing both, it was harder to focus on that. And now that the last 2 years, I've been able to really focus on Sunk Heaven and the performance element and really, like, bring it to something that, you know, I'm proud of and things. So
tell me about the first Sunk Heaven gig.
I think it was actually a weird one. It was like, I lived in this space in Providence that didn't have heat, and it was like mid-November or something. It was cold. It was very cold, and it was the first day that it was like this cold, and I was hosting a show, and I needed something to, like, make it work. And, you know, so I you know, my room was right off of the stage or whatever, the room that the performances were in. So I, like, had, like, some costume and got into the costume and went out and performed, and, you know, they're much more supportive than the beginning of Sediment Club, I would say. Like, the people were pretty supportive. I mean, it's a small community, and within that comes, it's like, small politics and things, but a majority of people were, like, super supportive and great. And, you know, I would say, like, yeah, I was like, I didn't move there knowing really more than, like, three or four people, and ended up meeting a lot of really great people. It was very good. So
Now that gig, that was a one-man gig. That was you alone, right?
me alone, yeah, trying to work with garbage electronics that I just found a few months before.
It was donated from some college students, right?
It was in a dumpster. It was all, like, they would just throw
donate,
away.
Donate's a word we use here as a, like, a positive spin.
They were philanthropists donating their
right. What kind of costume?
I had a stocking, I think, and face paint underneath, and I kind of like did some stuff with that, and yeah, just like some kind of thing. It's hard to remember, but I remember that specifically, sure. That I had like face covering and stuff.
Sure. I want to play Red Crossing.
Thank you. shadow in a dream, far from Mardi Gras, forever to enjoy. Ghosts of New Orleans. Ghosts of New Orleans.
must be easy not to worry about anything. No, actually, it takes a lot of work. Euphemisms will not serve a bartender's well. No respite, take some friendly advice.
motorcycle come.
Make some more friends, too, but we'll be
For Pedro show, just found out Austin told me it's his B-Day. Happy B-Day, Austin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, maybe you should have mentioned it.
Well, I'm a December cat, too. I'm the 20th. And,
nice. Cool.
So another trip around the sun for you. Okay. Or you could say the starting one. We heard Red Crossing from South Kevin, then Germanotta Youth with Magellan Barbecue. It's terrible. You know, he never made it. You know, right, his crew made the world voyage in the Philippines. He got killed. Thomas Squat Quintet out of Liverpool with Ghost of New Orleans. The January is with Moments of Knowing. The Elegant Solution with from the World Inferno Friendship Society. Neutrals of Motorcycle Cop. Immer After Tron. Make Some More Friends from Tollum. And finally, Eye on the Thumb. From Sunk Heaven. So, when you're composing for Sunk Heaven, do you make demos, or you just whatever, you know, you start your I don't know, improvisation or something, and then you just capture that?
I think like it's kind of like a little bit of a mix. I write lyrics and think, you know, of like melodies and things. Like often and like write them down, but then I'm also like playing them off of experimentations with like, I have like a keyboard that I can, program sounds on and things and kind of play around with. And, you know, just like a mixture of those kind of things. My like recording process has been changing a lot over the past few years. Like normally, I would just record off of my computer or just do things in a very like, lo-fi way because the immediacy of it was important to me, but I've been working in the studio. That's been really nice. A lot of the newer recordings are from I work with my old roommate from Providence that has a studio, Black Lace, and they've pretty much like mastered pretty much any you know, Sediment Club and Funk Heaven and done a lot of work with me and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, Providence has an old tradition. I think the Talking Heads went to RISD.
Yeah, and then
there was the Six Finger Satellite. I remember doing a gig with Fugazi at RISD on the campus. I mean, it was always on the tour circuit. And it ain't that far. It's kind of in between Boston and New York City. So there was stuff going through there. I'm interested. You say the words come first?
Sometimes, yeah. I think a lot of the time, I always thought of it as like a framework for like a certain kind of poetry or something like that. But it's like a mixture. Like sometimes like a song or a melody or just like a kind of feeling would come first or something, you know? But sometimes I have like lyrics and I'm like, okay, like this work with this, like, you know, I'll like have the lyrics next to me while experimenting with sounds and kind of, you know, play off of one thing or the other.
Yeah. So there is a kind of circumstance, like if things coming together because yeah, they just do. You know, I that's the way I kind of use photography. I can't set up shots. I'm just lucky to have the camera ready if something good comes.
Yeah. Photography is such an interesting, like, my wife's a photographer. You know, just playing on the situation in the moment and the different ways where that really just makes everyone's trigger finger different, every photographer different, you know, whatever.
Some people are really control freaky about it, right? Just only in their studio with their lights. And other people, they go out like me, you know, out and around and, hey, maybe nature will bring me a fucking picture.
Yeah, yeah.
I call them eye gifts. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, December 4th, 2020 edition, Watt Pedro Show. Special guest, Oscar Slade Julian. Hold tight for hour three. December 4th, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
Oh, I'm sorry. think that I'm insane. You're no good. To find I'm living in a dream. And you dream that I'm asleep as I watch you breathe. I never like you in the morning. Cause something different. Because you're gonna win the game. You're gonna lose time. Yeah, that's enough. But then I'll win.
Destroy and notice.
Watt from Pedro Show. We start off the third hour with Skeleton, Son Kevin, and For No One from Tragic Comedy, and then A Nameless Influence, Son Kevin. So you're telling me you're doing you're talking right now from your studio in Queens.
Yeah.
So is this also a practice pad?
It's more of, I record here, but it's more of a, for me, it's more of an art studio and a place to, like, kind of build instruments and things. I have some, like, exciting to be announced, I guess, officially, things coming up next year where I'll need the space to kind of build instruments and things. So, exciting stuff, but I'm here, you know, working on collages and different things. I have a record coming out, an LP. That's actually where A Nameless Influence and Fortitude are both going to be released from, is this upcoming LP on American Dreams Records, which I'm super excited for. And all this will be announced soon, but I'm making collages for the album art for this LP, and yeah, I don't know. I've never had an art studio before. I actually just recently acquired it, and I have space with friends, and it's very nice. So.
So it's kind of a work. It's kind of a workshop. Because you do visual art too. How does sound and visual intersect in your world, your view, your mind, your spirit?
They're very. I feel like often very interrelated. Like I don't know. I feel like I've often used music to like influence while I'm drawing, and vice versa. Like visually played. Like you know. I feel like. They're two sides of the same coin for me, and one like really couldn't exist without the other, you know. I also like make video art and make music videos, and with that, like I think that's like the hybridization of those two sides of the same coin, you know.
Yeah, have you ever been influenced by other people's visual art?
Oh, I mean, definitely. Yeah, I you know. Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, different downtown artists, like, you know, Basquiat is, like, a big influence of mine. I try not to, like, you know, I also, for me, music, weirdly, is a big visual influence. Almost, you know, I mean, I like contemporary art a lot, but for me, it's like translating a lot of the time. And I'm, like, emotively, I feel like music speaks to me. Very strongly and almost the most, you know.
What about
reading? I love seeing, oh, sorry.
What about reading?
High school, I read a lot.
Yeah, like literature. Do you ever get music ideas from reading literature or some shit?
Yeah, definitely. I would say so. Yeah, definitely. The Master and Marguerite was a book that I read.
That's a great book.
Yeah, and like that, like I know that there's music that's been influenced by that book too. So like on the despair cliches, it definitely was something.
Yeah, The Master and Margarita. That is a great book, man. Wow, yeah. I would love to hear some of your music that comes out of you reading that. Wow, that would be great. Because that story is a trip, man. That is a trippy story. I want to play Swam 2D.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
VHS tape. So when I was living with them, I like wrote the song. And it's kind of about like surviving drowning, but like just kind of taking it to another level too, and just kind of, I don't know, taking from wherever you can, collaging weird things and weird concepts together and things like that, you know?
I think that's what art's for, is it's mixing things up. You can get different kinds of understanding that what so-called reality can't bring us.
People, yeah, totally.
Me and Austin are discussing what went into his Swam Too Deep song, Kevin. Then we heard Wayne Pete Ensemble doing Bring It's Part 1. And finally, Song Cabin with L-E-A-V Opalescent Luminescent. That's a trippy title. So it's not actually Leave. It's an acronym, right?
Yeah, but I don't know what it's for. Oh, it is kind of Leave. It's supposed to be Leave, but it's supposed to be an acronym too, but it's not intentionally an acronym for anything. But I guess that one's pretty abstract. I'd say it's more about like suffocating light, I guess.
That's a good concept.
That's all I can think of as like a word way to describe what that song's for. Well, some of them are much more poetic.
No, but it makes sense. I mean, the other two was about drowning. This one's about suffocating. almost. It didn't happen. Pert near. Okay. Where can people find you on the internet, Austin?
You can find me on sunkheaven.bandcamp.com. You can find most of my music there. I'm also on SoundCloud.
Isn't there an Austin Slade Julian website?
There is, yes. You can find all of my art and all of my like musical projects and updates on austinsladejulian.com. And you go in, there's performance and video, and you can search and find everything there.
Yeah, yeah, because so, I looked at it and it was happening. People, that's AustinSlayJulian. Check it out. .com, right?
.com.
And so you say you got a new album coming out, and are you, it's kind of weird, but some people still make videos for their songs.
And actually, it's funny you say that, because another aspect of this upcoming album is all 10 songs are going to have music videos associated with them. So in the coming weeks, I've been working on them all this fall, and I have like collaborated with a bunch of friends. So like a bunch of them, my wife is actually directing one, and my wife, Rachel Euler, who's a photographer, to plug the people close to me and everything.
It's okay. So you're going to make 10 videos.
Yeah. 10 videos. I'm directing two. And then Ani from Palberta is directing one. My friend who plays as Pamela Andersons is directing one. A lot of people, Samantha Riot is directing one. It's going to be a steady release of these videos, and then they'll come in a DVD with the LP in the special edition.
Now, do you find that the tunes kind of reinvent themselves when they have a video version?
I think that can really depend. I think videos can be kind of framework, or they can heighten a song. They could only really truly exist in their truest form with the video component. In some cases, it really depends on all those factors, you know.
Yeah, but how are you seeing your work?
I think I've made music videos for other people before. I've directed two for Sediment Club in the past, but I love making video, and I think it will definitely heighten the aesthetics, which are kind of my goal to kind of bring forth in my like coming output in the coming year. Like, I want people to understand the aesthetics that are to me associated with my music that I think maybe have gotten lost in the past, because I haven't really put out any video components with Sunk Heaven, and you know, aesthetics are important. So I'm trying to push them hard. I think it'll only heighten the concept.
So like, to further the metaphor, like your tune Skeleton, you're going to put some flesh on it.
Yeah, that's a good metaphor for sure.
And advice, Austin, advice. What would you tell somebody young getting into this racket?
Like getting into the music
thing? Or just arts expression.
Yeah, I mean, it's everyone's to own and have, and don't let people tell you that you need to, you know, pay a middleman or pay them anything, any mind, you know, to like do what you want. It's everyone's right to express themselves that way. And if you truly want to, it's not like everyone has to do that either, or you only have value as an artist or a musician. But it's, I think it's important. A lot of people get, you know, that are under the thumb, especially a lot of people that are under the thumb of oppression in America, get pushed under the rug and get ignored and are told they can't do things from the moment that they're born. So they don't get the opportunity to express themselves in that way. They don't think that they can, and it's deep rooted. And I think you just have to, ignore these people. You're good to do what makes sense, because it's just a good thing to do. And if you want to develop it into something that's like the forefront of your life, then that's great. You can really construct it any way you want, you know?
No, man, that's great stuff. And I take it to heart.
Can I plug one more thing?
Go ahead, okay? Austin.
I have a CD coming out next week. It's called Silica Struck Dunes on Roar Records. And I just wanted to plug, my dad has a studio, Super Giraffe Sounds, in Brooklyn at 17 Frost. And he's doing a lot of great stuff, too. He's putting out an album called Swing Your Lantern this coming spring. So I just wanted to do a little plug. Wild opportunity. I'm sorry.
It's cool. It ain't no Bogart. And I can't wait to hear your pop's new record and your new stuff. People, it's been the December 4th, 2020 edition of Wild Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.